I'm pleased to welcome back the voice of the racers, Neil Bradley.
Glad to be back, Tracy.
Well, Neil, we were talking a couple of weeks ago, just before the Austin Peay game, and you kind of started saying something about it being a trap game, but then you said, no, surely that's not going to happen. But as is often the case with rivals, Austin Peay did defeat the racers in Clarksville 20-13. What happened in that game?
Well, Austin Peay did a lot of things right. They had, I thought, a pretty good game plan, but they were fired up. Their coaching staff did a wonderful job getting them to believe, look, here's a rival. This is a big game. You can beat them. So they came out fired up, and the racers forced them to turn it over almost immediately, took it down inside the 20-yard line, first and 10, and they go three downs, have to settle for a field goal. That was pretty much the undoing. The racers ended up committing five turnovers. Two of those led directly to touchdowns for Austin Peay. One of those just on the very next play. Racers also had key penalties in that contest, and as a result, they lost it. The better team that night in terms of who played better won the game. Austin Peay deserved to win it, snapped the longest losing streak in Division I at 18 straight games. So they were happy. They were celebrating like they'd won something big because in their minds they had. And just a little story for you. We were joking. They got the ball back with under a minute to go, and go under center. We were out of timeouts, so you figure they're going to take a knee. And they take a timeout. And we were joking during our break, they must not know how to run victory formation. Well, as it turns out, a couple of the players didn't know how to line up for it. So that actually was true. Their coach was joking about it, I guess, with their radio guys and said that, that's something that we have to work on, but we'll have a little bit more experience the next time. So it goes to show you. But the Racers just played poorly that game. I still think they're the better team. They could play them 10 times and beat them 9, but that shows you better be ready every night you lace them up.
But then Saturday, you kind of saw this coming, Kentucky Wesleyan coming off of a hard loss the week before. You expected a Racer victory, but I don't think anybody could have expected the final score. The Racers beat Kentucky Wesleyan 86-29, and Neil, that's got to be some kind of scoring record, right?
It is a modern-day scoring record, yes. It eclipsed the 83 scored last year against Campbellsville, and by modern day, they consider that anything from the OVC era, 1948 on up. The Racers have scored over 100, in fact, beating Louisville. Just for any of you Louisville fans out there, we have beat you 105-0. But that was many, many decades ago. The Racers played much better. However, even in this game, they're out to a 27-3 lead. Things look good. They get in the second quarter, and it's a penalty fest. They had three on one drive, two pass interference penalties, and a holding penalty that led to one of Kentucky Wesleyan's touchdowns. And so they outscore the Racers 19-14 in the second quarter. At halftime, the Racers had 11 penalties. So I don't know what Coach Hatcher said to him in the dressing room, but he may ought to save that one. In the second half, two penalties. They outscored them 45-0. That's more of what we expected to see. They had three kick returns for a touchdown, two kickoffs, and one punt. Returned for touchdowns. Good day for Katie Humphreys. He passed for two, ran for two. And I think Pokey Harris, who's nicknamed after Pokey Reese, by the way, Pokey had, 176 yards rushing. So the team just missed by 10 yards the all-time rushing total at Murray State, which I think is 418. They had 408 rushing yards. So all in all, it was a good day.
A good day and a victory that pulls the Racers' record to 3-5 on the season. Neil, there are four games left. They're all in conference. What's the conference picture look like for Murray?
Right now, as far as the conference it goes, Jacksonville State, they're the only unbeaten team left. Based on everything I've seen, I haven't seen anyone that I believe could beat them. I guess they're capable of losing, having a stinker game and losing one, but they seem to be the class of the league. Eastern Kentucky, they're on track to probably, unless they mess it up with a couple of losses, they'll probably get an at-large bid. But the Racers' hopes for any postseason play are done. They can play major spoiler, a team that's red hot to be coming in this week in Tennessee Martin. But if you look at the teams that the Racers have on the schedule, I mean, quite honestly, this is a young Racer team. They could win all of them, and they could lose all of them. So these are very difficult games, and they'll have to be ready starting this Saturday.
It's time to turn over to basketball anyway with the Racers, I guess, kicking their season off next week with an exhibition.
Yeah, they'll play Freed-Hardeman, and I'll be – 100% honest, I've been sort of more immersed in football, but starting last night with the Racer Mania, start to turn the page on basketball, and I feel good about everything. I have to be honest, on Racer OVC Media Day, I should say, in Nashville, a bit discouraged. I talked with Steve Prohm. He told me that Jonathan Farrell's hip injury, it's just a deep hip injury that they really can't do anything about. Rest and taking it easy is kind of the only thing that they can do. And that day, he didn't feel good about it. And then fast forward to just a week later, and he feels much better, much more encouraged. He was doing a better job. So I believe the team, as long as they don't get any serious injuries, if Farrell's one of those guys who can contribute 30 minutes or so a game, I think they'll be fine. The issue would be if they had to push one of the postmen into minutes where they're not ready for them, they could really have some struggles early on. But this team's talented in a lot of aspects, but they have to learn to play together as a team. The one thing they had last year, I think, that played a big role was Dexter Fields. They had some tough times early. They were young. Dexter had the leadership to pull them together, and by the end of the season, they were playing great. They don't have that. They have a better shooter, I think, and Justin Seymour than Dexter overall as far as what he brings to the table. But that leadership void is going to be a big key to how this season goes for Murray State.
Next time we talk will be, I guess, the official preview we do of the Racer basketball season. But I know there's a lot of fans out there chomping at the bit to get any kind of news or gossip. Anything going on around the Racer basketball team at this point before they actually start playing games that we need to know about?
That's basically it. They have there's scrimmages that college teams hold, and you're allowed to play two exhibition games, or you can have an exhibition game and a secret scrimmage. So fans don't know that. For example, let's say that the Racers were scrimmaging someone at the CFSB Center this weekend. Hint. They can't tell anybody about that. They don't release statistics about it. And when a coach is asked about it, he can kind of say, well, we had a scrimmage. This guy looked good. That guy looked good. But there's really no details that are forthcoming. And you'll notice there's a lot of that across the country. They limit who comes in as a broadcaster. I can't go in there. They allow the people that keep the stats, the officials, the teams, and the training personnel. And that's it. When I say super secret, it's super secret. They will not let any fans in there to watch it.
Neil Bradley always has some goodies for us. It's always a pleasure to talk to the voice of the Racers. Neil, let's do it again in a couple of weeks.
I'll be happy to be here.